This is an oral history interview conducted by Michael L. Minthorn for the Union County Oral History Project. The date is Monday, March 8, 2005, and this interview began at approximately 1:25 in the afternoon. Would you please state your full name?
Charles Herman Bates.
Mr. Bates, when were you born?
November 27, 1925.
Where were you born?
At the home ranch north of Hot Lake.
Where do you currently live?
At 59915 Wright Road, 1/4 mile from the home place.
Were you born, as you were stating, you were born at home then?
Yes.
What was your father's name?
Thomas William Bates.
What brought your father to Union County?
Well, the family came to Oregon in 1886 from Minnesota, and he was interested in farming.
Did he do any work or occupation other than farming or ranching?
He worked over in Wallowa County with the cattlemen and livestock.
I see. Where did he live out his final days?
His final days was right on the home place.
Here in Union County?
Here in Union County.
Okay. Tell me your mother's full name.
Laura Elmer Bates.
Was she from Union County?
She was born at Norton, Oregon. That would be east of Baker, approximately 1 mile.
Do you know what brought her to Union County or her family?
Her dad was a railroad section foreman, and they moved there to Emmer, Oregon. And he was section foreman from Emmer to Elgin.
Did she do any work or occupation other than farming or ranching?
She taught 1 year after high school at the logging camp would be south of La Grande. And then she taught at Ladd Canyon, where she met my father, and the years they were married in 1917.
I see. Where did she live her final days out?
She lived here at La Grande.
Did she?
At the home place.
Let's talk about that home place. Tell me about this home place where you grew up.
It was 240 acres. Dad farmed it, run cows, and a few pigs, and that was it. He farmed horses, and he had an 8-horse team in the latter days of Charles. That the lightest one weighed 1,970 pounds, and the heaviest one was 2,300 pounds. And them old kids, when you hooked them up, something had to give.
Mm-hmm. Is the original homestead still standing?
Yes. The house was built in 1918.
Do you live in that house, or is it just another house on the property? What's it used for?
I rent it. I own it now, and I rent it to my wife's niece.
You said you were born in this house?
That's right.
Were all of your parents' children born in the house?
All but the oldest one. He was born in Ladd Canyon.
Tell me, what were your brothers and sisters' names, and are any of them still living?
Elmer passed away about 2 months ago. Edward lives at Condon. Ernest, the next brother, was killed in France. I was born in 25, and my sister, the youngest of the kids, was born in 1933, Anna.
What was her name again?
Anna.
Let's talk about your marriage for a bit. What is your wife's name and date of birth?
Lorraine Ruth Bates, or Punches Bates, and she was born January 2, 1926, in Eagle River, Wisconsin.
Now you said that she was from Union County.
They came to Union County in 1929.
Where and when did you get married?
We were married at her grandmother's house here in LeGrand on February 14th, 1949.
Did you continue to live on the farm, or did you live elsewhere when you first got married?
We went to the house where we're at right now. That was it.
I see. Do you have children?
No.
Did she work another occupation besides farming or ranching?
No.
Okay. Let's go to chores. Tell me about your first memories of helping out on the farm.
The first memories of helping out on the farm was feeding chickens and milking cows and cleaning out the barn for Dad when he come in at noon. And the stalls had to be cleaned out. The hay had to be in the manger and the grain in the boxes.
Can you tell me, did your sister participate in these same chores? Did she have a set of her own?
Well, she was in the house helping mother more than anything.
So she had a different set of chores.
Yes.
Any examples of what she might do?
Well, washing dishes and feeding help feed chickens and stuff like that.
You've mentioned to me your parents going to town only now and then to get things. Can you tell me maybe what some of those things were, and did you ever go along with them?
Once in a while, us kids would go, but generally they would go to town to buy the staples and some clothing, and Dad always had to have harness oil or something like that, grease for the machinery.
Can you tell me what it was like to go to town when you were a child?
Well,
was that a major trip?
It was a trip. It was approximately 7 miles from town, but in those days it was quite a ride, because you always had one or two flat tires before when you got there.
How did you get? Well, tell me more about being in town once you got here.
Well, being in town, it was kind of nice, as we seen a lot of stuff that you didn't see on the farm, and that was going into the bank and to places like that. So, and you see in the buildings that a lot of them are not standing in LeGrand today.
What are some of the buildings that are not standing today that you can tell us
the
about?
The Foley Hotel, the Sacagawea Hotel, and Cherry's Forest on the corner there, or the bank is now, and then there was a flower shop that burnt years back.
How did your family obtain local information when you were living on the farm out there? It seems like it would be sort of secluded.
Well, the folks got the Observer paper, and it in the mail. It was a day late through the mail, and I have a receipt at home that Mother had, that it was $4.50 for the year. So that was quite a lot of money back in them days.
How else would you get local information or news?
Telephone and the neighbors coming by and stuff like that.
Did your parents have telephone service?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, the telephone was one on the wall that you cranked, and it was $2 a month. And of course, the lines were out part of the time, and if you needed to call somebody, well, other than on this party line, you had to call Central, and they plugged you into that number that you give them.
What is Central?
Central is the one that they had ladies who were working there, and they plugged into the rig and
In other words, you actually had to be connected to another person's phone in order to speak. How did you play the phone call?
Well, you call Central, the ladies in the Central office, and they ask you what number, and you told them if you wanted, and then they plugged that into that plug that they had and rang it. And two, you could call Central and ask them for the time, and if you needed to set your clock.
How many people did you say were on this same telephone line?
I think there was 8 or 10 on there, and each had a different sort of ring. Our ring at our place was 5 shorts, and the home place was 2 long and 1 short, and the Spencer's was 2 shorts. So Fleshman's, I don't remember what theirs were, but quite a...
So in other words, the phone could ring often, but it might not be for you.
That's right. It rang into our house for everybody on that line, and you didn't answer it unless it was your name.
Can you tell me then, how would you place a long-distance telephone call?
You called the central lady, told them the number that you wanted, whether it was Cold Reunion, and she would plug into the union line, and then the union gal would plug in to their place.
Yeah. Could you call farther?
Oh yes, you could call Portland or any place, but then it took time to get the call through.
Do you know in other words, like there could be a lot of connections to make?
Well, it would take time, yes.
I see.
Yeah.
Another gadget. Tell me your memory of getting television service.
Well, we never had any television at the home place. We got television at our house in 1956, I think it was. And that was something. It was a little old 17-inch set, black and white, and we thought we had some.
How many stations were there?
4. Off the translator, off from Mount Fanny. So, and we're still on the translator. We don't have one like in town with all the stations.
I see. Did your family have a car?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Dad's first car was a 1923 Buick with the side curtains open for the summertime, and then after that, he got a 1929 Studebaker. And the last car that Dad had before he passed away was a 1939 Studebaker. And that was quite a machine.
How so?
Well, it was all enclosed and had a heater in it for the wintertime.
You mean that was a convenience?
That was a convenience.
I see. You mean as compared to the other cars that you had?
Yeah.
They didn't have heat?
They didn't have heaters, no. You just, if you went someplace, you took a blanket and wrapped up in it. That was it.
When and how did you get licensed to drive?
I got my driver's license in 1944. And I went into the Army in 1945. That was it. And when I come home, my license was still good, only just renew them every so often.
Were licenses required at that time?
Yes.
Okay. How about leisure activities out there on the farm? What kind of recreation or activities would you be involved in?
Well, we always had a saddle horse to ride if we went down to the neighbors or went to school. In the evenings, we had parties at different homes. Once a month, we would go to some of the neighbors. All the neighbors would gather for a potluck supper, and that was the main thing out there.
For meeting other youngsters?
Yeah, and the other kids, and the neighbor kids.
What other kinds of things did you do for fun or
Well, in winter time we had a sled, and we were sleigh riding. They took the saddle horse and pulled him down the hooky buffin with the horse, and that was it.
Did you have any nearby neighbors for friends?
The McMillans were just across the fence there from the home place, about approximately 100 yards from the houses apart.
Did that make it possible to interact then?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have any special toys or hobbies or crafts of any sort while you were growing up?
When I was a kid, I started collecting stamps, and that was my hobby, and still is my hobby.
You still do that?
Yes.
Anything else you still do?
Well, woodworking. I have a shop with saws and stuff like that now. So, but outside, when I was a kid, you didn't have no. You had a saw, but you used elbow grease with it. You know?
I see. Where did you go to school? Where did you go to grade school?
Willowdale School, District 61, was 2 miles from home, and we always rode a horse. And if good weather was, the weather was good, like in this fall or summertime, we'd run across the field.
Is that school building still there?
That's still, the building is still there. It's in bad shape, but it's still standing.
Did you finish school at Willowdale?
I finished the eighth grade at Willowdale.
Are there any reunions that are ever held for that school?
No.
How did you, you mentioned horse. Is that the main way that you got to this school?
Yes, the main way.
How far was that from your house to that school?
About 2 miles.
2 miles. Tell me about the facilities in this school. Did it electricity, water?
No electricity. And had a wood, big wood stove in the corner. And they had a pump outside to get a bucket of water. And everybody, if you wanted to drink, you went to the bucket. And if you went dry, you went and got another bucket full.
How about toilet facilities?
Toilet facilities, they had two toilets, one in one corner of the lot, and the other for one for boys, one for girls.
They were outhouses?
Yes, outhouses.
Who provided the firewood?
The district generally bought it from somebody that would buy 6 or 8 cords, and that's what they heated for the winter.
In relation to this business about the facilities, the limited facilities that you had there, so did that mean that you had any school chores to do as well to keep that thing going, to help the teacher out?
Well, we had to pack wood and maybe put the wood in the stove once in a while. The bigger kids did.
Were there any other chores besides that?
Well, generally we'd help teachers sweep and stuff like that. So.
No janitor?
No janitor. The teacher supposedly was the janitor.
Where did the teacher live?
She lived in the early recollection, she lived with different people in the district that had extra bedrooms. And then the latter one, Mrs. Cale, she lived here in town. She drove back and forth in her car.
What was a typical school day like?
Well, we had to be there at 8 o'clock. We had a recess at 10, and then we eat our lunch at noon. School started about 1 o'clock, and then a recess probably at 2:30, and school was out at 3:30.
How did the teacher work with that? You said there was only one teacher.
One teacher.
So how did the teacher work with students in a different grade?
Well, she'd take one grade and check them out, the next grade or so, and then the eighth grade, it took a little bit longer, and you had to know a little bit more than to start with.
What things would students do together?
Well, we'd go out and play baseball and stuff like this, and then in the fall or the Thanksgiving, we generally would have a play and a service and speaking pieces and stuff, and they would have a pie social or something to raise money for Christmas candy. and then we'd have a Christmas program. And that was about it.
Were there things that students always did together?
Generally, yes. Like playing out in the baseball and stuff. The boys and the girls both were always playing ball.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to high school in Union, Oregon. And the Union District run a school bus out. And we rode the bus into Union, and they'd pick us at about 7:30 in the morning, and the bus would go to Ladd Canyon, and back around to the Hempe District, and then into Union. They'd generally get there about 8:30.
Did you ever have to walk home?
No. My dad said that if you missed the bus, you would walk home, but we always but
on time.
On time.
Did you graduate from Union?
Yes, 1944.
What activities did you participate in while you were in school?
In band, glee club, and we played inter-class basketball, and that was about it.
Did you receive any awards for any of these activities?
I received an award from band for 4 years of band.
What instruments did you play?
Baritone horn.
Who taught you to play that instrument?
Mrs. Covey. She was the wife of the band director. And between Don Covey and his wife, they could play any instrument that came along. Whether it was a wind instrument or the brass or any of it, one or the other could play it.
Do you still play those instruments?
I haven't for a long time. I have my horn yet, but then I don't have.
Did you participate in any sports?
Just the basketball and inner class stuff at noon is all.
Do they hold class reunions?
Yes. We have a class reunion about every 5 years with the class of 43 and class of 44. And this Memorial Day weekend coming up, we'll have a get-together. And then on the Sunday following Saturday, we have a breakfast for everybody that has gone to Union High School. And that's at the Eastern Oregon Livestock Show Clubhouse. They have ham and eggs, hot cakes, and hot cakes, ham and eggs, and fruit if you want it, coffee or juice. So,
I take it you plan to go.
That's right.
Do you go regularly?
I haven't missed one yet.
I see. Did you attend college?
One term here at Eastern Oregon.
Why did you leave college?
Uncle Sam invited me to go to work for him.
Tell me, what buildings were on this campus when you were here?
The Ackerman Building, the gym there, and the administration building.
In Low.
And then there was the girls' dorm on the other out from, I don't know what they call it now, but that was the only three buildings here.
I see. What activities did you participate in here?
I played basketball that term, and the band, and the glee club.
Did you come back to school later?
No.
Let's talk about the farm. Again, what crops did your family raise out there?
Dad raised wheat, barley, oats. He had a bunch of cows and pigs, and that was about, and hay. We had to have hay for the livestock, so. And that was when I got big enough, that was quite a job, because I drove the derrick and everything like that.
Are you still producing the same? Is the farm producing the same crop today as then, or how has it changed?
Well, I've rented the farm out, and it's under hay ground right now, alfalfa right now for the renter. So I suppose another year or two they'll plow that up and put it into wheat or grain of some sort.
What types of cattle did your family raise?
Dad had shorthorn beef cattle, and we milked some of them. And he run them up on the Minum behind Cove in the summertime.
Does your farm still do cattle now?
No, no.
Was this cattle more for family use than for income?
It was income and family use, yes.
You've talked about some of your farm chores earlier when you were a child. How about specific to the farm? What sort of things did you do to help out as you were?
Well, we milked cows. Help put up hay, and in the fall when Dad would bind the grain at that time, well, we had to shock the grain, put it in shocks in the field, and then the thrasher come through the country and we run they thrashed the grain and sacked it, and then after the thrasher was gone, my dad would go to the neighbor and help him out, and when they all got through, well, then we'd haul the sacks in and bring them into Island City in a wagon, four horse team in a wagon, and make a trip or two a day, and that was it.
We're going to talk about that. Let's talk about that threshing operation. Your farm didn't have a thresher?
No. Roy Wheeler from Union had a thrasher machine that he comes through the country and thrashed the grain. And he charged so much a bushel that went through the machine.
Tell us about, there will be people who don't know what that is, thrashing the grain.
Thrashing, well, you get the bundles in. You got the bundles, they had to pitch them in the wagon out in the field, and then the wagon come up, and the fellow on the wagon pitched them into the machine, and the machine thrashed it, or the same, and the straw was blowed out by a fan in the back side of it, and then the grain come out so you could sack it. And in later years, why they had a wagon high enough that you can take it in bulk. But in the early days, it was all sacked and hauled that way.
How did the thresher get paid, the person who owned the machine?
He got paid by the bushel. But grain was there. There was a measure that dumped with a bushel or a half a bushel, and that's what they paid him by.
So he got paid by the bushel?
Yes.
How did you arrange to have this done?
Well, generally all the neighbors, when we're ready to thrash, Wheeler comes through with his machine, and he'd thrash at one neighbor, and then when he got through there, he'd go kind of through the neighborhood, and each of the neighbors would help the other neighbor. He'd take his wagon and team and that way. And there was no money involved in help. So
this was a cooperative effort?
No.
It
was just a neighborly.
It was just something that was done?
That's right. Neighbors helped neighbors.
Were there any other operations that required this sort of cooperative effort in order to get the crop raised or put up? Or
not that I remember.
How about the cattle? Were any of the cattle sold? How was that done?
Well, the cattle, I remember Dad once or twice chasing or driving cattle to Island City Stockyards, and they loaded them onto the stock cars to the railroad, and then went to fork them that way. If you had a carload or something, went in. And the railroad furnished a car for the landowner, or the owner, to go to Portland, and where he could watch his cattle sold.
How were they paid?
Well, they, when they paid them, they just wrote a check down there, and Dad come home with the money.
Would the same car that took them down there bring them back?
Well, no. No, they give them a ticket on the passenger train to come home.
Do you remember when your family got their first power machine?
The first farm? The first tractor was bought in 1941, and it was Steel Wheel Massey Harris.
How did that... So you're talking about the first machine that you got was a tractor?
First tractor was a Massey Harris, three bottom, pulled three bottom plow, and it was steel wheels. And in later years, why, they put rubber tires in it. They took put rubber tires on it. And that kind of speeded things up. But my dad would not get on that tractor at that time. He had to use his horses. And finally, he come to us. He'd see that we had a, and then got a mowing machine to mow the hay, and he finally come to us that he would let the horses go and ride the tractor. But that was, golly, that was 4 or 5 years later.
So you were saying he resisted this new technology?
Yeah, yeah, he just couldn't go with it.
Does that mean that he's still plowed by horse?
Yes. Well, he didn't plow by horse, he plowed with the tractor, but then the seeding, why, we bought a new seeder, and it had tongues in it for his horses. And in later years, why, then they took the tongues off and put the tongues on the tractor.
You were saying that it cleaned up your operation a little bit when you got that tractor.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yes, it speeded it up. With the horses, of course, it took quite a while to plow an acre. And with the three bottom plowing the tractor, why, you could see that we were doing a little bit better, speedier job. And this came in harrowing, why, you didn't have to set up so much machinery. So, that was, but my dad was kind of, he liked the horses.
Let's talk a little bit about religion. Did your family practice a particular religion?
Not at home. We had an American Sunday School Union that through the years back in those days, well, that was it.
What does that mean, American Sunday School?
Well, it was a Christian organization that got everybody to kind of, it was non-denominational, and anybody could go that wanted to. And in that community, why, that was it. And then later years, as times got better, then people started to go to churches in town. And we went, my mother went to the Christian church after my father died, and I went, got prayed off to the Baptist church, which I go to now and continue to go.
So, when you had this American
Sunday school,
where were those services held?
They were held in the home or in the schoolhouse. Most generally was in the homes, because the schools, they thought that wasn't right for people to go unless it were a school function.
How were the home services held?
Well, it was generally, I know at home, you had various classes for different ages, like one went to one bedroom and the other to the other bedroom, and then the parents, if they had the class, they stayed in the front room.
How was the location of these homes decided? How did they know?
Mother would say, well, next week come to our house, and the neighbor would say, next week come to their house.
Would they decide this week by week?
Yeah.
Was there opportunity to socialize at these
services? Oh, yes.
What were some of the activities here?
Well, some of them would have a potluck dinner and stuff like that after the service. So that was it.
How long would the service be?
Oh, an hour. Something similar to what we have today.
Would this have been a journey for you to go, depending on where it was held?
Not too much, because I think the furthest one was probably about 3/4 mile.
From your house?
Yeah.
Hot Lake. What's your earliest memory of Hot Lake?
My earliest memory of Hot Lake is, probably when I was 5 or 6 years old. That was the Hot Lake voting precinct. And folks would go down there to vote. And I remember going into the building, and the dining room was all white tablecloths, and the glasses were there, and the lobby was all chairs around, and the front of it they had the floral displays, and then in the park in later years there was pool tables and mud baths and all that. That was the bathhouse at that time.
What was the purpose of the resort if you knew it then?
The what?
What was the purpose? What did the resort do?
Well, it was the Mayo Clinic of the West. When Dr. Fry come in there, they had an office. They would see 3 stories, and the operating table and the operating room was on the 3rd story, and there was an observatory, a little observatory room there that you could check with some of the extra doctors or somebody who wanted to watch an operation. Why, that was it.
Was it a hospital
bed? It was a hospital. And, of course, the mineral baths, that was quite...
Do you know specifically if it had a particular type of purpose as a hospital?
Yes. Yes, Dr. Fry and operated on people, and sick people. That's what he done. And then he had x-ray machines and the whole works there.
So it was a general hospital?
A general hospital. Mm-hmm.
Who was this doctor?
Dr. Fry.
Tell me about him.
Well,
you know,
I don't remember him too well, but he was quite an instigator. He had livestock, he had cows, beef herd, dairy herd, he had horses, he had chickens, a chicken house up there, and pigs, and he had a big garden. And actually, he didn't have to really come to town for anything to eat.
Was he the owner of the hospital?
Well, not technically. I think there was Walter Pierce and a few of those of the older fellows that had money in it.
So it was a corporation?
Yeah, kind of a corporation out there. So.
And the purpose of all of this was to make the hospital self-sustaining?
Self-sustaining. And then the railroad, they had 2 trains a day each way that stopped and let off passengers and picked up passengers.
Was Hot Lake ever a standalone town of its own?
I think so, yes. Now this book that the ladies from Elton put out is A Town Under One Roof. And I think that's pretty close to, of course, it gives a lot of the area around there that for people.
Did the purpose of the resort change as it changed hands over the years?
Yes.
What do you know about that?
Well, it kind of, after Doc Fly died and his son took it over, it started to go downhill. And then in 1934, when it burnt, well, the old part burnt, then that's the about that time is when it really went down and quit. And those, there's been two or three outfits that got a hold of it and tried to make it go. And later years, my doctor Ross, he had it and made a old people's home there, rest home, I guess you call it. And that was on the third story. But down in the kitchen and stuff, they used to go out and have a dinner or banquets and stuff like that.
You mean it was a rental hall?
Yeah, they put on dinners and stuff, and they had the laundry there and the whole works.
Who did you know who you rented that from, or who?
I don't.
The owner might have been.
No, it's okay. No, it's people now from Joseph own it now, and they're rebuilding it and stuff.
You were saying that it was that several people had tried to do something with it between Dr. Fye and his son. And when the rest home came into being, do you know what things people had tried to make it?
Well, they was going to make a hotel out of it and restaurant and stuff, and it just didn't mature. So,
did they ever try it? Or
no, I don't think they ever got to the place where they took quite a lot of money to get it, and nobody had any money for it.
You said that you witnessed the big fire at Hot Lake. Tell me about that.
Well, that's in 34, that's when the original part burnt. And up to almost to the brick building that was built later. And the fire trucks from LeGrand got out there just about the Lone Tree, and the soda rod and the motor, it didn't make it, the Baker. It got its north tower, and it didn't make it. So the old model D-4 that they had there boiled more water and it pumped, I think. And it just...
You mean they had their own fire?
Yeah.
Fire truck?
Yeah, that Hot Lake. Yeah, that little model D-4 that's on display now at the fourth at the fire museum is what was down there.
And that was the only one that made it?
That was the only one that was there.
Where were you when that fire happened?
I was going to school, and at recess and noon you could see the smoke going up. And that evening after school we rode the horse down to take a look at it, and it was still smoking and stuff. But it was a sad day, I'll tell you.
Did you know, or did anyone know, the cause of that fire?
I don't recall if we did, whether it was electrical or what it was.
You had also said that you had friends at Hot Lake. Were these friends of yours that you went to school with?
They went to school, yes. There was a family of, can't think of their name right now, but there were four boys and a girl, and they had went to school down there and lived in a little house, and their dad, he took care of the dairy park and helped out at the sanitarium or the hospital.
So the parents of your school friends were employees?
Yes.
Both of them, or just?
Well, I think that the mother, she stayed home and took care of the family.
Were these friends of yours your age?
Yes.
Where did they go to school?
Well, I don't know. When they left there, I don't recall where they went, but they come from Ohio.
Did you tell me that these kids went to the same school as you did?
Yes.
At the Willowdale?
Yeah.
So they actually were classmates of yours?
Yeah.
How about, we talked about the mineral water that they had.
The mineral water, yeah.
What was the reason for that?
Well, it was supposed to help out your system, and they had mineral baths and like that, and all that mineral water that supposedly you drink and stuff was all piped into those rooms.
The individual rooms?
The individual rooms. Now whether that's still, I imagine the pipes are all rotted out for that, but I understand now that you can go through that, and I don't know.
But what you're saying is that this mineral water that was supposed to have a beneficial effect.
Yeah.
So in its hospital days, it was actually piped into each room, like a drinking fountain or what?
Well, it was a faucet, a little faucet there. Right. You'd get a glass of water and like that.
Did you ever taste it?
Yeah. It wasn't bad after you got past your nose when I had. But there used to be a sign there on the highway, each east and west, of a sign there, 2,500,000 gallons of water per day out of that spring, boiling spring. And there's still spring places where it's boiling up there.
Today?
Yes, today.
Do you have, let's see, let's cover some more. You had mentioned facilities out there at Hot Lake for the guests. These were hospital guests, I'm assuming. And you talked about farming and gardening and dairying out there. What other facilities do you know have existed out there for the convenience of those people?
Well, for those people there, the restaurant, the dinners, or if you come there for healing, why you could buy your dinner at the dining hall, and it wasn't too much. But
you were telling me about a railroad stop there.
Well,
tell me about that.
There was a depot there, and the railroad each way stopped with two different trains and let people off or pick people up to, if they were through with their sickness or something, then they got on the train and were home.
Was this on the main train line from east to west?
Yes. And there was a stockyard there at Hot Lake, the grain, sack grain building where you could put your sack grain to put it on the car, a siding, there was a siding there that where trains could meet, but that's all gone now, every bit of it.
Did you tell me there was actually a ticket office or a station?
Ticket office there, and then when they took the building out from the railroad, it was in the lobby of the hotel, at the hospital.
The ticket office was.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if it was ever a standalone town. Do you have any involvement in the current effort to promote the resort? Or
I'd like to see it go in, but then they're working on it, and it's kind of it's a lot of time they get things through. It's going to be quite an expensive project.
Have you any involvement in that?
No.
Let's go to Grange Halls.
Grange Halls?
Grange Halls. What was the purpose of a grange?
The purpose of the grange was a place for the agriculture and the doctors and people like that to discuss the problems. And most of them, they had dinners, and that was the main part.
That was more social than
anything. Yeah, it was some social, and then of course they started the Union County, they had the Union County Fair there when I had my first class election at the Blue Mountain Grange on Geckler and McAllister Road.
What was the name of that grange?
Blue Mountain.
And you're a member of that grange?
I was for about 50-some years, and when it quit, I took my membership to Pleasant Grove Grange, so I could have, the grange has an insurance up that they had, but you had to be a member to get the grange insurance, which is quite a lot cheaper than the regular line insurance company.
Well, what sort of insurance are you talking about?
Well, fire insurance and car insurance and liability insurance, most any kind of insurance you want.
Would you get things like crop or farm insurance there?
Yes, you can get crop insurance too.
Did you use any
No.
of those?
No, I've never insured a crop. My dad never insured a crop, and I assume I've got money ahead.
Where is this Pleasant Valley?
Did you say Pleasant Grove, Green.
Pleasant Grove, where is that?
Yeah, down on the other end of the valley, on the below Mount Emily.
How does somebody join a grain?
Well, all you have to do is ask to be a member, and they take you in, pay your dues, and that's you've got to pay dues for it.
Do you actually have to farm for a living?
Not anymore. I used to. I know when they either farm or doctor or educator, and that was it.
So you could be a teacher or a physician, as well as a farmer, to join the grants.
Dr. Maskey, that was the president of the college here, was a member of the Vermont Grant. And Dr. Skeen was a member, and they were professors here.
When did you say you first joined the Grange?
Oh, when I was 14. That would have been about 1933, I think, or 4.
Did you join at that time as an extension of your parents, or did you join in your own right?
In my own right. And my folks had blown the Grange for years and years and years. And that was, of course, it was a farm organization, and that was it. So,
what sort of activities did the Grange conduct?
The Grange, they had their meetings, and then a lot of Saturday nights they had their dances and stuff, an old-time dance. And they always had somebody play the banjo or the piano and violin and guitar. That was the music at that time. So everybody had fun.
Did you ever hold office with the Grange?
Yes, I was the master or the president of the Blue Mountain Grange for about, I think, 18 years. There are two various times.
What does the master do?
He conducts the meetings and stuff like that.
Is that the same, would you say that's the same title as, say, president or chairman?
Yes, chairman.
And what sort of things did you do for the organization? Did you work on any particular issues or projects when you were master?
Yes, we had at the fair. I remember, was the Union County Fair. They used to all the tall rangers around the county put on a fair boat, and they'd go out to watch for blood. I mean, they really put on a show. And I know
when you say that, do you mean competitive?
Competitive, yes. And the first prize, there's always cash prizes for first and second prize. And in 1958, our range, which I was the head of the committee for one here at the county, that entitled us to go to the take a booth to the state fair the next year. And in 59, we got the cup, the trophy at the state fair for that same booth that we had.
And that happened while you were master?
Yes. And it was, it was a green inlay down, and that was 8 foot high and 4 foot wide.
And you called that what now?
It was an inlay, grain inlay of a covered wagon and the oxen and the people on the wagon, and it was in various grains, so we could bring the color out.
This was a display?
Yes. And it was all, we had it nailed down with clothesline rope around each part of the thing, and we filled that in with various things. So that was it.
Any pictures exist of that exhibit?
I think so, someplace.
How about the railroad? Talking about the railroad now, what was your reason for going to work for the railroad?
Well, we had 4 bad years on the farm, and we had to have something to kind of pay the bill. So I went to work as a clerk at the railroad down there in 1953.
What was your job title?
I was a clerk, foreman, and crew dispatcher.
And who did you work for exactly?
Union Pacific Railroad.
Are you retired from that job now? Did you have to take an exam or compete for that job then?
No. No, I just hired out and that was it.
What were some of your job duties or tasks?
Well, calling crews and figuring out crews what to go on which train. And then, of course, when I worked at the freight house, I was the bill clerk. We handled freight and all of that. It was just general duties and hauling crews.
And did you actually haul crews?
Yes. You haul crews to Hinkle. Sometimes they call you to drive a crew to Hinkle or to Huntington. That was the district that we served at that time. So now the railroad goes east to Napa. Huntington is just a wide spot road.
When you were talking about putting together crews and calling crews, are we talking about scheduling?
Well, not scheduling. The dispatcher would tell you when they had the train coming. And at that time, when first I started, you had to have three brakemen and a conductor, an engineer and a fireman on the train. That's a six guys. And sometimes, and then you had that were assigned men to a certain crew. And as times come by, or went by, then they got rid of some of the guys. And now you only have a conductor and an engineer on the train. And they're on the unit, the head unit, and that's it.
So you say that you didn't schedule the train or the cars that were going.
No.
But you would put together a crew that was required for that dispatch?
Yeah.
And were they just on a list? What was that about?
Your crews were assigned crews, conductors, and brakemen to a certain caboose, you might say, and the engine crew, engineer and fireman were assigned. And if one laid off, then you had to come over here to the extra boy, what they call the extra boy, and that first out took its place.
And this is what you did?
Yes.
This is, you were in charge of knowing who was available?
Who was available, and which way to go, and then you had to keep track of guys coming in so that they went out the next turn in the proper place. If you didn't keep track, and then somebody said, well, I had a runaround, you got a payment. So
what does that mean when you said they have a runaround?
Well, just if you don't keep the time of the guys coming in, they got to go out in that way.
In that order.
In that order, yes. And if they don't, and this guy come in early and you miss him and run the guy out first, the other guy out first, well, that guy, he's a crime because that was his turn. He should have been called for it.
So he would get paid for that if you missed him?
He'd get 100 miles.
And did that cause any problem for you when that would happen?
Well, if you got too much of it, it would, yes. But I didn't get reprimanded for any of that.
Let's talk further about how that railroad operation here is different now than when you began.
Well, the railroad has cut off so many men here at the Grand. They used to have the roundhouse here where they worked on the engines and stuff. And the rip track was what they called the repairing of the cars that were in bad order, like bearings or wheels that flapped and broke. And all of that is gone now. It's either Hinkle or Napa. So you've got about possibly, 200 men that don't work anymore. At least that many. And then you get the ones that have the seniority to stay, well, that's the ones there.
Do you know how many people it takes to run a train now compared to what when you were there?
Two.
And it was how many when you were there?
Six. And as, when I retired, why, it was, there was four, I think it was.
When did you retire?
In May 25th, 1986.
Was Le Grand, I'm sorry, were there passenger trains that went through Le Grand at that time?
When I worked? Yes. Yes. And they continued, Amtrak took over, and they were still, they were still running when I retired.
Who were the passenger lines before Amtrak?
Union Pacific.
They ran passenger service.
Yeah, they ran passenger service.
Where did these trains come from?
Well, Portland, they start out at Portland and they start out at Chicago. Coming in, going west to Chicago and Portland going east.
So their destinations were the opposite ends of the line.
Mm-hmm.
Was Le Grand a connection for other train service in this area?
Well, often the Joseph France is all.
That was the only
that
one?
That was the only one, yes.
Was it a regular service?
Up the branch? Yes. They run one up there every day. And one, well, when I first started, they run one up. And then